This is your first assembly of the World Council of Churches. What are your impressions? What do you hope perhaps can come out of this meeting that can be of use to the local churches there in Jerusalem?
Yeah, of course, we come, many of us from many parts of the world come with some hope. You know, when feeling unity, feeling this ecumenism, this brotherhood and sisterhood between all these churches, it gives us hope that we are not alone. If we are in Palestine or if we are in Syria or Iraq or maybe in any African, Central American, any kind of country that suffers, they feel that they are connected with other brothers and sisters. It gives them strength. And within our Kairos document, we said that these are signs of hope.
There are many competing agendas here, though, aren't there? Many people would like to see problems in the Holy Land much higher up the agenda, a much stronger voice for peace in the Middle East.
Surely. And for us Palestinian Christians in particular, we are a little bit, how can I tell you? We are not clear about this because we feel our brothers and sisters, for example, in Syria today, they suffer so much more, especially on this very urgent situation they are living in. So sometimes we, as Palestinian Christians, we chose to step backwards and give the floor to the Syrians, for example, at this stage, because we feel that they have more urgency matter, and we are trying to, on the contrary, we are trying to support their issues. And today we are supporting the issue of this kidnapping of the two bishops more than anything else on the agenda of the Middle East.
Do you think there's a fear, though, that here the politics can, if you like, take over from the specifically spiritual or the ecumenical search for unity? In other words, do you feel that the practical political aspects of the church's life can take over perhaps from the central mission of faith here?
This is what everybody would expect. Yani we would expect that political interests, as usual, will play the major role here. But to tell you the truth, what Pope Francis did the last time he called for prayer all over the world, and it did happen in Jerusalem, and here when you meet other fellow Catholics, for example, you feel that they also prayed at the same timing with the same message. We felt that there is something else that we can do, not only political pressure, but this spiritual connection with God and the prayer would bring fruit sometimes much better than all our political endeavors. And he taught us a lesson, His Holiness.
What other signs of hope, if you like, can you see at the current time? It's hard to discern much hope at the present moment.
Yeah, politically, if you want to say politically, we don't see so much hope as such at this urgent situation. But when we look back to our survival as a community, as a Middle Eastern Christian community, this has been going long through the history of our lives, of our ancestors. And we think that because we have a message, we have this message of witness to God, that God himself is giving us some kind of protection. And this is where we go back to our community and say, we will survive. We have to survive, but we will survive because God is with us. So the feeling of brotherhood and sisterhood in this assembly also give us this message that other peoples have suffered also, like the Koreans, the South Africans, and this is where we share our stories here, and we see that they survived, we will survive, and we will emerge, we will resurrect with Jesus God, and we will have a nation, we will have peace, and we will have freedom.
As well as the ecumenical dimension here, there's a strong call for greater interfaith engagement, isn't there? And we had a very strong call to that effect from one of the Jewish leaders just the other day.
Exactly. When one of my interfering in one of these interventions that I did on freedom to worship and access to worship sites and so on, there was about four or five Jewish persons there who were attentive and who were positively responsive, and they said, we need to do something, because sometimes, you know, ignorance is the enemy. And some of these people, you know, feeling that their country is doing good. And when they hear real stories, real life stories from people who are witnessing on the ground, they live in Jerusalem, but I live also in Jerusalem, and they feel that they did not know about this, and this should not go on. They immediately presented themselves as an initiator for a new initiative to talk to their authorities in order to solve one of these problems. And this arena, this kind of ecumenism in such a gathering here, I think it might bring fruit at some stages, at some of these stories. Yeah.
There's a lot of concern here also about Christians persecuted in the Muslim world.
Yeah, sure. Yani the overall picture might look as such. We heard our brothers from Egypt, we heard our brothers from Syria, and they are much determined to say, no, it's not a Muslim-Christian issue. It's something between fanaticism and modernism, between secularism and this fanaticism, which have turned out its ugly face. We saw this in Egypt, we saw this in Syria. And this is what gives us hope, that evil is becoming more clear to everybody. And then everybody would resist evil. They will refuse evil. So this is where we are hoping and waiting for the cycle to go round. And then everybody has prosperity, freedom, and live in peace at the end.
In a very practical sense, what ideas, perhaps, what inspiration are you taking back from this assembly to the churches there in the Middle East, in Jerusalem?
For us, coming from Jerusalem and Bethlehem and from Palestine, we saw that we have been given good exposure. We have friends, we have partners, brothers and sisters. And this gives us strength to continue to what we call to rearrange our forces again, regain our strength, and go on with new initiative, new meaningful initiative. We have learned a lot from the Koreans, from the South Africans, from other struggles here. And we have a direction, and we are, you know, strengthened by the Word of God and by the Kairos document, for example, that give us at least the direction and the guidance. I think such a meeting is very good for our colleagues. We have about 10 to 12 Palestinians who are participating here. And we are going back with more power.